Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the Sleep Deprivation Institute's secret underwater headquarters somewhere off the coast of Iowa, it's the man dedicated to keeping the internet completely wired. This is Which Goes Off with Widget Walls.
Friends are dead. Not what it used to be. Now you'll never have a place like home to rest your head.
Hello, hello, and hello. This is Widget Walls, and you are listening to Widge Goes Off here on QuickStopEntertainment.com. So how the hell are you, everybody? Welcome back to another weekend being over. It's over for me. The week is just beginning for you as you listen to this, more than likely, unless you're in some other part of the world where the day has already started and then you're ahead of us, so congratulations. So, let's see, what do we got to talk about? First up, Borat kicked everybody's asses this weekend, didn't he? Yeah, Sacha Baron Cohen is one of the happiest men alive at this particular moment when you consider that Santa Claus 3 opened in 3,400 theaters, and Borat opened in 837. So, opened in less than 25% of the theaters that Santa Claus 3 did, and made more than six times per theater, 31.5K per theater average, for an estimated gross of $26.3 million. This is off a budget of 18, which means that they are in the black immediately within 3 days, and they haven't even opened wide yet. So, fascinating. Fascinating. And smart of Fox to pull back, I think, because now the buzz will just increase as opposed to something like Snakes on a Plane where it just fell flat. And they've already, I think, paid out, I don't know how much, for the rights to the sequel. And I heard that they're going to make a Bruno movie now, and God knows what else. Sacha Baron Cohen is now officially gold, so more power to him. I mean, the guy is a character, the guy's an acting comedy genius. I mean, when you can do what he does and not flinch and not drop character at all, ever, it's pretty fucking amazing. I mean, for those of us who do improv, it's just... He is like an improv god. I mean, you know what I would want to see, honestly, is I would want to see him as Sacha Baron Cohen, right, doing something like a Whose Line Is It Anyway, with, you know, the likes of other improv gods like Ryan Stiles and folks like that. I mean, can you imagine? Think about that for a moment and just, you know, the golden light. Oh, it would just be fucking incredible. I would love to see that. So, what else do I want to talk about on the box office? Not fucking much. Saw 4 is definitely in the works. $10 million to make, $60 million in the bag so far. And it still did another 15.5 over the last weekend, over this weekend. So, Saw 4 is in the works, despite I heard that they're trying to, they kind of wrapped up the series with Saw, whatever, okay? And Flushed Away came in at number 3 with $19 million. I don't know how much it cost to make. But, and you know, I heard that I was reading in the box office, the weekend box office analysis that Box Office Mojo does to see where the whole Borat 31.5K factored in. I don't think they have a list of best average screen ever. I mean, Babel is doing better than Borat right now. And was it Babel? Hang on. Is it Babel or is it? No, it's not Babel. Babel's doing 26, but Volver, whatever that is, or Volver, I don't know, is doing 40, and it opened in 5 theaters. So, but I was just curious about that. But they did make mention of the fact that the last Aardman film, which of course was the Wallace and Gromit film, opened at 16. So, you know, 19 is pretty good. And I don't know how much it cost to make, but it will, I mean, it'll do well on video. So I'm not too worried about Aardman. Love those guys to death. If for the rest of the box office, I'm bored. Go read it online. I'll give you a link to the folks at Box Office Mojo. They do a better job of covering it than I could anyway, and you will learn more. Now, what do we need to talk about? First, a little disappointing that Sean Hogan. Sean Hogan is the guy who is head of Digital Point Solutions, and the MPAA tried to sue him for downloading Meet the Fockers. And he basically said that he was innocent, that he did not download it. In fact, he owns it on DVD, so why the fuck would he download it? And apparently what's happened is they found out that, I'm looking at this on Tech Dirt, the headline is, if you're going to sue for copyright infringement, first make sure you own the copyright. And basically that the MPAA, and specifically the studio that's suing Hogan, may not actually have the rights. And I'll let you read it because it's in a bit legalese and I get confused what the hell I'm talking about. But basically they're trying to get the whole case dropped because the studio, Universal City Studios Productions, which is suing, actually doesn't own the actual film. So that's kind of fucking stupid. But what people were hoping for is that Hogan, being a millionaire, would drive this through to resolution and there would be some kind of precedent going on. I don't know. There's precedents happening elsewhere with the MPAA and the RIAA that are gradually undermining their ability to just fuck people over every time they feel like it. So we'll see. I mean, that I was just reading how the RIAA had gone and tried to sue a woman. And that wasn't working out because the woman was maintaining her innocence. But now they've gone after her 16 and 20-year-old kid. Now, it's a lot different than going after their 6 and 10-year-old kid. But still, I mean, who is planning, who's running the PR for these folks? You know, now your enemies get to say, well, if they don't get you, they'll go after your children. I mean, that is exactly the way to piss somebody off, is to threaten their children. What a great notion, you fucking morons. I mean, really, it's not like everyone hates you already. I mean, let's face it, the MPAA, the RIAA, and the IRS, they're probably like that when it comes, and you know you can't see, but my fingers are very close together. You'll just have to take my word for it. But, I mean, as far as evil villains, muhahaha type of thing goes, I think the three of them are probably neck and neck if you actually took a poll, because they're behaving like total assholes. I mean, really, when was the last time... Honestly, when was the last time you read an article about the IRS doing something? I mean, they do something evil. It seemed like you used to hear about it all the time. Now you just hear about the MPAA and RIAA doing evil shit. So I don't know. I would be interested to see a poll. You know, who is the organization that you find to be the most evil, and see how they come out. What else do we want to talk about? Ah, yes, it was revealed in an article in Newsday, apparently, that NBC was not going to renew The Office, but it's because of the sales through the iTunes store that they've renewed it. Now, isn't that fucking interesting? It's not just DVD sales anymore. It's online sales that can drive somebody to save a series. So, you know, who knows? Who knows what this means? I'm going to give you a link to this as well. But basically, I mean, when you consider the Nielsen ratings, I mean, I don't know anyone who's a Nielsen family. Anyone. So I question that as... I question their sampling methods to find what people are watching. And what's crazy is you could actually go and find out what people are watching. I mean, you could find out... Doesn't TiVo have something like that in their service where they can see who's downloading what and how popular they are? I don't know. But it just... the Nielsen ratings have never made much sense to me. But... straight up sales, those you got a friend you can talk to. So I'm fascinated to see what other shows the iTunes store and online sales and stuff are going to save. So anyway, in other news, we've got Comedy Central and Viacom basically telling YouTube to get their stuff off of YouTube, which I think is pretty fucking stupid if you ask me. I mean, I'll send you a link to Clint Andrew Hall's blog, where he goes through the ins and outs of this, and apparently it's the stuff is still coming down. I'm with him in that I don't watch, like, The Daily Show. I don't watch The Colbert Report. I don't have time. I mean, despite the admonitions of Ken and stuff, I don't have time. I simply don't have time to watch television. I've got too much other shit to do, like record podcasts. So I'm too busy creating content or trying to watch somebody else's content, which is, I think, fairly healthy, I would hope. But no, I mean, basically anything that I've seen from the last 2 years for Daily Show and The Colbert Report, and even to some extent South Park, which is mentioned here as well, and is also affected, has been through YouTube. because I just simply don't have time. And it's much easier for me to go, honestly, to go to some place where the video is embedded, which I think is an important aspect of what YouTube and Google Video and these other services provide, is they allow you to put it somewhere else. And I'm like, you know, I don't know why they didn't figure out a way to monetize it, put some advertising on it or what, to allow it to stay. I think it's fucking stupid because I would be interested to know how much people talking about the Daily Show and the Colbert Report, how much that buzz dies down now that this has happened. So I'll send you a link over to Clint Andrew Hall. He makes an interesting case for why this was a bad idea. I know it was a bad idea. I mean, I would be a mind of, they're Google now, right? Why don't you strike a deal with them where you will put up a blessed, high-quality version of the bit onto YouTube. You'll do it as a one of their director things, right? And you'll put that up on your website as well so it can be shared. What is the big fucking deal? Especially if you have a sanctioned video with some kind of 10-second, 15-second ad on the front and some ad at the back as well. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you do that? To me, it's just, it smacks of lack of foresight, okay? And it's kind of childish, to be perfectly honest. I mean, the stuff is going to get out there anyway. You might as well get ahead of it and put it out in a form that is amenable to all parties. You know what I'm saying? So, very disappointed in this whole Comedy Central and bullshit like that. So there's that. Also, I think you may have heard about this MySpace thing where they're trying to keep copyrighted music from being uploaded, which is fine. You know, fine. If that's how you want to play it, fine. But this is what's interesting is I'll send you a link to the Boing Boing thing here where they talk about people who actually own the copyright can't upload their own songs to their own MySpace. It's because it's just showing up as being, you know, as being copyrighted. You're in violation. No, I'm not. I fucking own the songs. So more idiocy that's going on as intellectual property rights run riot over everyone. And to be perfectly honest, if I was a musician, let me put it this way. I have actually recorded some audio of me reading some of my stuff. I would be tickled fucking pink if somebody were to post a sample of my stuff on their website. It's like I was talking about with Jonathan Colton, I think, last time. You know, his stuff on YouTube generated a sale with me. I don't know that anybody, I don't know that you've ever cost anybody a sale, not in this day and age. These days, you've got a choice, right? It's basically, don't buy it, or sample it in some way, and then go, oh, it's pretty good, and buy it. Because I remember the old days. I remember back when, and I wonder if like Columbia House and people like this have this problem, where I would order an album from like Columbia House, right? And it would come in, and there'd maybe be two good tracks on the damn thing. And you'd be stuck with this album that was just shit. And of course, it was on a cassette tape or something like that as well, so you couldn't get to it easily, right? You couldn't get to the track you wanted. You kids these days with your DVD players and your MP3s and shit, you don't know what it was like. You don't know what it was like! But no, so I mean, you would go based off of, you know, a song you heard on the radio, and you'd buy the album, and you'd be stuck with one good song and 9, 10, 11 other tracks that were shit. So these days, I mean, you know, I don't know anyone who listens to the radio, honestly. I mean, if they can help it, because radio is terrible. I mean, if you are listening to radio, you're listening to satellite radio, right? So, I mean, how do you sample your music? Where do you get your music from? Me, I try out stuff from music blogs. That's how I own every album Murder by Death has put out. It's because I was sampling some of their stuff off of music blogs. After 2, 3, 4 songs, I was like, shit, these people are good. They're consistently good, and I have to own one of their albums. So same thing with Jonathan Colton. The guy's funny. He's funny as shit. He's consistently funny as shit. Therefore, he's got a customer in me. So, you know, fine. I think there needs to be a separate database, and I've said this before, and no one fucking listens to me. There needs to be a database somewhere of, here are the consumer-friendly artists for books, for music, for movies, for whatever else. These are the artists who don't think that you, the customer, the consumer, are criminals and pirates and shit, okay? They want you to, you know, they want you to get their stuff. And me, I mean, shit, my books are online for free download. I'd love it if you went and bought them off of Amazon, because that would be nice. But I just want you to read them. Fucking read my books. I don't care. Same thing with most musicians. They just want to be heard, is my thought. I mean, especially some of these, you know, unless you're, you know, unless you're, I don't know what you are. I mean, I don't know of an artist that doesn't want their stuff to be appreciated by people. And there's other ways to appreciate work than to pay for it. Now, obviously, somebody's got to pay for it, otherwise it goes away. So my thought is, I would like somebody to do a study of musicians who are hard asses about it versus musicians that are not, and which have the happier fans, which have fans that are more loyal. You know, I mean, I don't know. I'm convinced that, first of all, with most companies, right? If you have, let's talk about companies for a second in general. If you have good customer service, I'm convinced that you can kick anybody's ass in any industry, because customer service is a forgotten art. I mean, when was the last time that you actually got done with some problem and you felt like that you had been taken care of by the company, as opposed to you were wasting their time, that they were taking time out of their busy schedule to deal with you? When was the last time you went, you know what? They were really sharp. They were really helpful. That was really pleasant. I went in with a problem or I had a question and they dealt with me and they treated me like a human being, and I got done quickly, and I felt like that I had value for what I was paying. How often does that happen in your life? Ask yourself that. I mean, seriously. And so that when it does happen, that's how people make customers for life. I mean, I've mentioned this before, but it's like, for example, there was this company, the Ecover, I believe it's how it's pronounced. They make environmentally friendly clothes detergent, right? So we were trying their powder. And it's not like I'm an eco freak type person. I've grown out of that. But I, you know, there's certain common sense things. I appreciate the feel of not having a whole shitload of chemicals on my clothes. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things. It's a personal preference thing. But so we're trying out this powder, and the problem was it wouldn't dissolve. So you'd pull it out of the washer and there'd be just little bits of white on it. And of course, that's a problem for me because I wear nothing but black, right? So Garanimals for adults, So we emailed them and said, look, we appreciate your product and we understand, and we, you know, but we can't do this because it's just not working out. Well, we got a letter back from them saying, we're sorry for the problem that you're having. We agree. We're having a problem with that product. We're working on trying to work out the bugs on it. In the meantime, here's like a jug, right? One of the small, not like a little sample, like shampoo, travel shampoo bottle size thing, but here's a small jug, like one of the smaller ones you'd buy at a grocery store, full of our liquid detergent. Try that instead. So acknowledge there was a problem, apologize for the problem, gave us a solution for the problem. Here's a liquid version. Try that. We've loved their stuff ever since. So that's how you get customers for life. So if you're an artist, to me, it's the same thing. To me, it's all about customer service. If you are a musician and you are a dickhead to your fans, I don't care how good you are, okay? Eventually, they're going to get sick of your ass and leave you the hell alone. So it's in your best interests for any musician, writer, whatever else. I mean, nothing turns me off worse than interacting with an artist, even one that I admire greatly, and finding out that they're a shithead. That's terrible. So, you know, treat the people like human beings. Treat them like you would want to be treated. And then I think you'll do well. So that's my take on it. So MySpace, certain people don't want their songs about it. Fuck them then. You know, fuck this whole people liking your song so much that they want, you get one song to play on your MySpace page, and that they want that to represent them when somebody goes to their site, their little MySpace area, right? So you know what? Fuck these people. I'm like, let's create a database of the people who are actually friendly, who don't treat us like we're criminals, okay, who don't treat us like assholes, and, you know, let's check the uploads against that. and see what happens and see who doesn't become more popular. You know, just an idea. So what else do I need to talk to you about? Oh, one last thing. Dude, finally go see The Prestige. It's a fucking great movie. So if you haven't seen it, you should. Christopher Nolan, of course, and is the guy who did Memento, which is an amazing film. Then he turned around and did Insomnia, which was shit. Then he turned around and did Batman Begins, which made us all very happy. And now he's proven that he can make us consistently happy. I think Insomnia was a bit of a studio-related fluke. That's the only thing I can think of, because he's 3 out of 4, as far as I'm concerned. Great fucking movie. If you get a chance, go see it. It's worth you know, a matinee or more. So go check it out. That's all I got. So I'm going to get the fuck out of here and edit this sucker down, mix it down, and send it up so that all of you can enjoy it in the morning on your way into your Monday morning drudgery that we all must go through. So, as always, please send me your questions, comments, recriminations, whatnot to widgesucks@needcoffee.com. Just fell for me to thank the folks at Exit Mind Bomb for letting me use, as always, Godzilla Will Rule You as my theme music, because they kick ass. So go give them love. And beyond that, we will talk to you next week, if the fates allow. So until next time, be good.